This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is hour number two of Cashing Out right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, and we do have ourselves a tremendous hour coming up as we have to start taking a look at the Friday baseball card. We've got all 30 teams in action, and we do have a day game. As I always say, if the name of the day ends in Y, you need a day game. We currently don't have any numbers up on the board in terms of this day game between the Tampa Bay Rays and the Miami Marlins, but we do have a day game. So thank goodness gracious there. And we're going to be taking a look at everything on that front in about 30 minutes with Rob Donaldson. He does great work with the show/podcast, Rob's Best Bets. And we're going to be chatting with him about what he's all liking with regards to this MLB card. We're going to be talking about just how he's playing some of these streaks. Like, we have seen some insane ones, obviously, with the Colorado Rockies riding a 3-game win streak, which I don't know what form of sorcery came over them in Miami this week. But they were able to win 3 games in a row on the road after they went 3-28 to begin the season on the road. And for the old Athletics, they were 1-20 in their last 21 games entering into the day today. And now they're 2-20 in their last 22 games. So yay, verily there. So we're going to be talking about those teams, some of the big fades, some of the things that you do want to be taking a look at. And we'll get some great action there. And what else is tremendous? Just everyone behind the scenes here at VSiN. They are the best team in the business, and they're the reason why you get all the great content that we've got over here at VSiN. If you're listening on SiriusXM channel 158, and you're able to listen as well wherever you get your podcasts after the fact, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, list goes on and on. Every single show here at the network, it does get posted up in podcast form. Fenos, he does an absolutely tremendous job of making sure that the audio is all nice, crisp, and clean. And here is the most difficult task here in the network, making myself look halfway presentable in a video/moving picture format. That would be Jarens, who does such a tremendous job there. He makes sure that all the odds that you see on the screen are all up to date, whether you're watching on the VSiN Watch app, VSiN.com, anywhere that you're able to get VSiN. He does a tremendous job there. And then our producers, second to none. Johnny is on site making sure that everything is very much all taken care of and everything is neat, clean, and orderly. And then Jared, he does a great job squaring away everything that I need to know and letting me know, hey, here we've got some movement here with regards to this Indiana Pacers versus OKC Thunder series. These guys, they all do amazing work. So a big thanks to them. Best team in the business. And because they do such great work, I need to get to work and give you guys some winning picks. And I will say, the write-ups on Thursday with regards to the MLB, it's been a little bit of a shaky week for myself, but we had an undefeated 3-0. So hopefully we can keep that moving, and hopefully we can see some more movement with regards to this line between the Indiana Pacers and the OKC Thunder. Right now where we stand for game number two, after it was just a wild and crazy game number one, is the OKC Thunder 11 to 11.5 point favorites. Total is 227 to 227.5, and I'm seeing a straight 228 here at Circa as well. And again, I'm just going to keep going back to it. In game number one, the Indiana Pacers lose the turnover battle by 18. Now, they do go nuclear from three-point range. They shoot north of 46% from three-point range, but two things can be true. Are the Pacers going to continue to shoot 46%+ from three-point range against this defense? No. Are they going to lose the turnover battle by 18 again with a guy in Rick Carlisle that knows more basketball than I've probably, or has forgotten more basketball than I've probably ever known? Probably not as well. Like, Rick Carlisle is a guy that's been in this situation, and if you're looking at the major sports, the sport that coaching probably matters the least, I'd probably say is the NBA in terms of professional sports. In college, like college basketball, man, coaching is everything. When you got like Slick Rick Pitino going against insert fuddy dud coach here, but in the NBA, I think that's a little bit less of a big deal. Maybe I'm off on this. Like, I know that a lot of people will be saying it for baseball, but I actually think that managerial experience in baseball is extremely important. And then obviously when you get into hockey as well, that's always an interesting sport as well. But I do think that with regards to what we're going to be seeing in this series moving forward, Carlisle being able to make those adjustments, be able to get the most out of his team, is going to be very big. And I just alluded to it. And a Pacers team that turned the ball over in game number one 24 times. The OKC Thunder, they shot less than 40% from the floor. And we've seen a downtick from the total. The closing total in game number one was right around about 229.5 to 230.5. When I was doing the show, most places had about a 230/230.5. That was up, so it ticked down a little bit. But I mean, being able to get a discount on the total, I actually do like the over in this spot as well. I do think that you're going to be able to see these guys for OKC knock down a few more shots. And I mean, it's just who's going to be able to help out Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who had a tremendous game, 38 points. That loss is certainly not on him. It's on the fact that you didn't have a lot of Jalen Williams, who's been able to supply for you all postseason long. You didn't necessarily get a ton out of the bench as well. So I do think that for the Thunder, the role players, who they always play a little bit better at home rather than away from home, they're going to need to give you a little bit more there, because that was less than tremendous what we saw in game number one. So we've got a lot to decipher there, and we'll see if there's any movement here throughout the night, because we saw a lot of instant movement as DraftKings posted up an opener of the OKC Thunder being a 9.5-point favorite, total of 225.5. They certainly went away from that very, very quickly. And something that we want to be sticking with is taking a look at all the great work that we are doing here at VSiN with regards to our friends over at ProfitX. As ProfitX, they do a nice job of making sure that you're able to get the best of all odds. The NBA Finals, the Stanley Cup Finals, they are here, and ProfitX is offering the best odds, because you're not betting against the sports books or anything like that. You're picking against other fans, and that means that you're going to be getting the best odds by about 10 to 20%. ProfitX is a peer-to-peer sport exchange that is available in 40-plus states. You're able to even request your own odds. And when you download ProfitX today, utilize that promo code of VSIN. That earns you up to $200 in profit cash over your first month. That is the promo code of VSIN. As it's cashing out with myself, Greg Oops Peterson, right here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. And how about if we do take a look at this Friday MLB card? And ironically enough, as I'm doing this live at a little bit past midnight Eastern time, you still have a game between the Astros and the Pirates. Laid it out in hour number one. I will certainly be fading the Astros. I was going to be doing so anyway, but all the more value there. And how about if we dive in on this game? This is a game that did make my VSiN write-ups, as for the Colorado Rockies to enter on, I mean, I can't believe it, a win streak. If you win three games in a row, as they like to say in the movie Major League, that is a win streak, and it has happened before. And now it's happened for the Colorado Rockies, and they find themselves as a massive plus 270 underdog with Antonio Senzatella. I'm not even going to call him Antonio Senzatella. He's just human pinata at this point for the Colorado Rockies. Total on this game is a 10.5, and here's the reason why Antonio Senzatella is known as the human pinata. 15.2 hits per nine innings allowed. 15.2. Like, think about that. Think about your average MLB team. If your favorite team gets 15 hits in a game, you're thinking, wow, they had a really big offensive output. That's Tuesday for Antonio Senzatella. Like, my goodness. 7.14 ERA. The fielding independence is actually a little bit better. He doesn't have to give out a ton of home runs, but still, 15.2 hits per nine innings. How this man is allowed to grace an MLB mound and Major League Baseball doesn't say, you might want to get another pitcher in there. We should consider him a position player at this point. I have absolutely no idea, but that said, there's that. And then you've got Kodai Senga's doing for a little bit of regression. 1.60 ERA. Fielding independence closer to about a 3.20. He's been giving you about 8.5 strikeouts to 4 walks per nine innings. Very good at being able to keep the ball in the air, but now at Coors Field with the elevation, that does lead to a little bit more strife. And this is a team in the Colorado Rockies that they hit more than 40 points better with their batting average at home rather than away from home. Hunter Goodman has actually been rock solid for them, being able to give you 9 home runs. You've had Jordan Beck be able to give you 8-plus homers as well. So, I mean, these guys have been able to be rock solid. But keep in mind, these two teams played last week in New York. The Mets did a nice job of pounding the tar out of them. And you've got a pair of guys that are really starting to get online. Juan Soto had a pair of home runs in that series against the Colorado Rockies. It's been a rough season for him, but that was able to get him online. And Pete Alonso, coming off of 3 home runs in the last 2 games in that series against the LA Dodgers, he has been, I mean, very good all season long. And you're able to find this guy year in and year out, a top 5 player in terms of home runs per, just overall home runs on the road as well, because as we know, Citi Field, a little bit more of a pitcher-friendly ballpark. But I do think that for the Colorado Rockies, if you're looking at one thing that has actually been halfway decent for them, it's been the bullpen. The likes of a Zach Agnos being able to give you a sub-3 ERA. You've had Jimmy Herget be able to give you some good innings along Jake Bird. They're posting up a sub-4 ERA. And for the Mets, this has been a top-5 team with regards to bullpen ERA this year. Oscar Brazoben has been able to give you a sub-2 ERA. Reed Garrett has been really good out of that bullpen. Edwin Diaz is starting to look like the Edwin Diaz of old. But I think that Senga's doing for a little bit of regression. And again, 15.2 hits per 9 innings being given up by Antonio Senzatella. I mean, this guy is just getting banged around and banged around. I just can't look at anything other than the over in this spot. And this opened up at a 10. I was able to write this up when it was 10. Still like it here at the 10.5. And for the New York Mets, you're finding this run line at a hilarious. If you're looking to lay a 1.5, I'm seeing as high as a minus 218 out there at DraftKings. Other places you're laying at approximately minus $2. I wouldn't want to necessarily be jonesing to lay like minus $2 on the run line, but I did set my projected run line price at a minus 222. I personally am going to be looking to lay the 2.5 runs, which right now here at Circa, you're able to find that at a minus 140. So we're looking on that run line. I'm looking at the minus 2.5 run line, and I'm going to be in on this over as well. And then this one is a lot of fun. You've got yourself the Milwaukee Brewers, who have been able to get a little bit hot recently, going against the San Diego Padres. Chad Patrick's on the bump for the Brew Crew, and one Mr. Randy Vasquez is on the bump for the Padres. Padres are finding themselves anywhere between plus 124 to a plus 130 underdog. For the Brewers, it's anywhere between minus 140 to a minus 148, and the total is 8.5, and I'm going to be willing to take a shot on the over. I was talking about how Antonio Senzatella is giving up so many hits. Randy Vasquez not giving up 15 hits per 9 innings, but the guy is really lending himself to a lot of contact. 5.4 strikeouts to 4.8 walks per 9 innings. He's been doing a nice job of being able to keep the ball in the yard. He's giving up less than a home run per 9 innings, but you have to wonder when that luck is just going to start to run out on him. And you've got a Brewers unit that has been able to come into their own with regards to their offense. It's mainly because they do the little things. You've got a quartet of different guys that will be able to give you 10-plus stolen bases. Jackson Chirinos, Sal Frelick, Bryce Turang, Christian Yelich. And with Yelich, he's up to 13 home runs. And that's a big reason why the Brewers have had this nice turnaround that they've had. They've been able to win 10 or 9 out of their last 11 games. It's all coming back to the fact that Yelich has been able to play a little bit of better baseball. We'll wrap this game up on the flip side and take a look at some more great action that we've got on this Baseball Friday right here on Cashin' Out on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Cashin' Out here on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We've got ourselves a tremendous slate of baseball on this Friday to be able to decipher. All 30 teams are going to be in action. Again, we do have a day game on this Friday right now. We don't know necessarily what we're going to be betting for this day game on Friday because the Miami Marlins have yet to square up with a pitcher. It should be Edward Cabrera, but it's not confirmed, so everyone has this off the board. But what is on the board is what we're getting with one of the hottest teams in all baseball, the Brewers. They're taking on the San Diego Padres, with it being Chad Patrick against Randy Vasquez. And was talking about why I like the over in the previous segment with Randy Vasquez just not giving you a lot of swing and miss. And Chad Patrick, to his credit, has been really good for the Brewers. And with the Brewers, if you have a little bit of an unknown pitcher out there, you should be willing to put a little bit more faith in some of their minor league guys rather than other teams. And the big reason why is that they just do such a good job at the AAA affiliate of being able to prepare these guys for the big league level. With a lot of these Brewers pitchers, they pitch you a little bit more contact. Patrick has been giving you about 8 strikeouts per 9 innings. So it's nothing like terrible, but it's nothing overly amazing. But with Chad Patrick, he's been able to do a nice job keeping the walks down. He's allowing less than a home run per 9 innings. He's come up to the big league level, and he has been very much prepared. And with the San Diego Padres team, it's been a rather pedestrian offense this year. They're hovering right around about league average in terms of runs per game, and it comes back to the fact that the Powerball has been a little bit down for them as well, because you've got two guys that have been able to do a really good job of giving you a double-figure amount of homers. Gavin Cheats, along with Fernando Tatis Jr., and Cheats both hitting in that neighborhood about a 260 to 270, and Tatis leading the way with 13 home runs, but only 28 RBI to show for it, so guys have not necessarily been able to move the line and get on for him. But Manny Machado, even though he's hitting like a 317, he's done a nice job of being able to find a way on. He's only got 8 home runs this season. You would expect a little bit more there. He's starting to heat up a little bit more in terms of that hard contact. But Xander Bogaerts, again, guy that's just not living up to his contract. You paid Xander Bogaerts all this money to hit 240 and 3 home runs as far this season, and it's a little bit rough. They've got guys like Jake Cronenworth and company coming back from off the injury list, which is good. And for the Padres, this has been one of your better bullpens in terms of ERA out there in the league, as you've got a lot of guys they're able to mix and match with, and you might need to with Mr. Randy Vasquez being on the bump, because you've got someone like a Jeremiah Estrada, who's been able to give you sub 250 ERA, like what I'm seeing out of Jason Adam along with Robert Suarez, really good back end of the bullpen duo, both give you a sub 2 ERA. And then Audrey Mordejon is a very underrated long guy that's been able to give you sub 3 ERA. And for the Brewers, this has been a little bit of a fall off with regards to their bullpen. Like, they were number one in the National League with regards to bullpen ERA in 2024. And Yopi Selvas, Piguero were just big fat disappointments for the team. Both are not necessarily on the roster right now. I think one of the guys is in the minors, and I think that the other guy is just not even with the team anymore. But that said, what you've been able to have is a trio of guys that have been able to come through for you. Trevor Megill, Nick Mears, along with Abner Uribe. And Uribe especially has been really good for this team. They've been able to give you a sub-3 ERA. They've been able to get some okay production out of someone like a Jared Koenig, who's been able to give you about a 365 or so ERA. They had to send Brian Hudson back down to the minor league level. So it's been a little bit mix and match there. But overall, I do think that the Brewers find a way to be able to get the job done here. If we could get closer to about a minus 139, I'd be liking the money line. If you're looking to lay run F with the Brewers, you're going to be getting that more in that neighborhood, about a plus 135 or so. So I would like to be able to get a little bit of better money line. Want to see this go down by like 2 or so cents. If worse comes to worse, I'll probably be willing to take about a minus 140 with the Brewers. But we'll see if we can get down just a scoge more, because this opened up at a minus 150 in a lot of spots. Now we're between about a minus 140 to a minus 145. So we'll be on the Brewers in this one. And with regards to Soto, I'm going to be willing to take a shot on the over there. And then this is one that I absolutely have to address: how the Atlanta Braves blew a six-run lead, six runs with one out in the top of the ninth inning and no men on, completely blows my mind. And what blows my mind even more, they're a road favorite on Friday, having to travel all the way across the country against the San Francisco Giants team that they are the opposite of the Atlanta Braves, and you'll find that out in a second. 961-962 on the card. It is Spencer Schwellenbach, great name, going for the Atlanta Braves, and Hayden Birdsong, great name, going for the San Francisco Giants. 7.5 is the total. Again, with the Braves, minus 130 to minus 135 favorites. Between plus 114 to plus 118 is your number on the San Francisco Giants. I will say this statement, and this alone should tell you where the Atlanta Braves bullpen is at. The Atlanta Braves bullpen now has Craig Kimbrel in there because they called him up for AAA after the loss. Like, that's where the Atlanta Braves are at. Craig Kimbrel in the year 2025 is back in the Atlanta Braves bullpen. Yeah, that's not great, to say the least. And for the Atlanta Braves, the fact that they blew a six-run lead with two outs to get, that tells you where you're at right there. And if you're a member of the Atlanta Braves, like, what are you thinking when you're going from Atlanta to San Francisco? Probably not, oh, daisies and roses and everything like that. No, you're thinking, oh, we're just a bunch of morons that blew a six-run lead in the ninth inning with one out. I mean, man. And for Spencer Schwellenbach, I think that he's going to be able to go out there, give you good performance. I actually do like the under in this spot, because I think that the Atlanta Braves don't want to go to their bullpen. Like, after what you just saw, especially Desmond Hernandez deal with a little bit of an injury, and they did have to legitimately get a lot of innings out of the bullpen. Grant Holmes, he only went 3 1/3 innings, so that attrition, it does add up for you if you're the Atlanta Braves. But after you see that, I mean, how do you have any faith in those schlubs out there in the bullpen anyway? And for the San Francisco Giants, how they're the opposite of the Atlanta Braves. How about this team and the bullpen that they've had? They are currently number one in the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA. And it's not just that they're number one by a little bit. Their bullpen ERA right now is a 236. The next closest team is the New York Metropolitans at a 288. So they're 0.52 points clear of everyone else. And Hayden Birdsong was one of those guys at in the bullpen to begin the season. He has come up as a starter, and he's done a nice job of being able to round into form, as he was a starter by trade last season. So they were having him as a little bit of a long guy. But in his three starts thus far this season, 4 earned runs, 5 runs in total allowed. So he's been able to do a nice job there. But then you've got likes of a Tyler Rogers, Randy Vasquez, Camilo Duvall, all these guys being able to give you a sub-2 ERA. Eric Miller has been rock solid as well. And for the San Francisco Giants, you've got a trio of guys who've been able to give you 10-plus home runs. You've had Matt Chapman, Eloy Ramos be able to do that, along with Wilmer Flores. And Ramos is doing a nice job move line, give you about a 360 or so in terms of that on base. You've had the likes of Jung Lee slow down a little bit, Mike Yastrzemski as well, who are doing a nice job moving the line to begin the season. So you need to get a little bit more there, as there's been a little bit less platooning ever since they got Gabe Kapler out of the fold. But still, for the Atlanta Braves, this has also been a team that's very much been struggling on the road this season. And for the Atlanta Braves, it just feels like it's one big collapse after another big collapse. It feels like they should be much better than the 27-34 record that they've got this far this season. But also for the Atlanta Braves, they played their best baseball at home by far. Because for the Atlanta Braves, they're 10-20 on the road, and they're a road favorite here. Again, I recognize that Schwellenbach is fine. He's getting about 8.5 strikeouts per 9 innings. He gives up fewer than 2 walks per 9. Sub-325 ERA field independent. That's right in that neighborhood. But it's hard to have a lot of faith in this team, especially with what we saw a few days ago. And additionally, this has been a lineup that has been a little bit hit or miss. Ozzie Albies, Michael Harris, just not giving you a lot of power, not a lot of average. Austin Riley's been able to give you 11 home runs, 330 on base. And getting back Ronald Acuna Jr. is great. North of 400 on base. 4 home runs as far this season. Sean Murphy has been able to give you the power ball as well. But that said, I do take a look at this spot. And I think that the Giants should be a favorite at home, especially with this game being from west or east to west. And the Atlanta Braves just dealing with a lot of just, shall we say, tomfoolery over the last few days. Because keep in mind that their game on Wednesday, they did not finish that game up until about midnight with that long rain delay as well. So their body clocks are all out of whack. I do think that for the Giants, they should be the favorite. I do like them on the money line. And I'm going to be willing to dive in on the under. Somebody told us 7.2. Something else that you want to be diving in on is the first bet contest that we've got here at VSiN Triple Crown. The wrap-up is going to be on Saturday with the Belmont Stakes, and you want to get on the action with our friends over at First Bet and play in the free First Bet and VSiN Belmont Stakes Pick'em Challenge. You're able to enter your picks for Saturday's top races, and you're able to win grand prizes, including up to $500 in a wager voucher from First Bet. Head on over to VSiN.com/Belmont to play. That is VSIN.com/Belmont. As it is myself, Greg Oops Peterson, holding it down right here on Cashing Out on Visa, the Sports Betting Network. And how about if we take a look at this game as well? As this is one where I think that the pricing is just way off. 953 or 954 on the card. The Arizona Diamondbacks, the team that came back from down 6 runs in the ninth inning on the road against the Cincinnati Reds. Yes, Bill Belichick, we're on to Cincinnati, and they're on to Nick Lodolo getting the start for them. And Eduardo Rodriguez is on the bump for the Diamondbacks. Relative pick'em game. Total on this game is 9. Eduardo Rodriguez has not thrown in about 3 or so weeks. His last start was on May 14th. And when he was out there, he was a human gas can. He was giving you north of a 70 ERA. Now, the strikeout numbers are still there. He was getting north of 9 strikeouts per 9 innings, but 1.6 home runs allowed per 9 innings, 3.5 walks allowed per 9 innings off of a big league mound for more than 3 weeks. And they're saying that they're a near pick'em against the Cincinnati Reds, especially with an Arizona Diamondbacks bullpen that it leaves something to be desired. Jalen Beeks, Shelby Miller, these guys have been able to give you a sub-375 ERA, getting back Justin Martinez, who was on the injured list for a little bit, and Kendall Graveman is big as well, but they had to burn through a lot of those guys on Thursday as well. And for Nick Lodolo, strikeout numbers way down, about 7.8 strikeouts per 9 innings, but fewer than 2 walks allowed per 9 innings, less than home run allowed for 9 innings. I think that the Cincinnati Reds should be a pretty sizable favorite. I set them at a minus 145 and set it by a total a little bit north of 9. So I like that over, and I do like the Reds on the money line. What else I love is talking baseball with Rob Donaldson, who does great work with the show/podcast Rob's Best Bets. He joins me next on Cashing Out. I'm Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Great to be joined by this man on the Progressive Guest Line as we've got Rob Donaldson aboard. If you go to youtube.com/Rob Donaldson, you're able to get a bunch of great plays from him. He does a tremendous job gauging this MLB betting board. He's out there in the Midwest as a professional bettor, and it's always great to be able to get you aboard, Rob. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for having me on, Greg. I love talking ball with you. And, you know, we've had a lot of fun storylines develop it here in just the first 5 days of June. And we have a fun slate on the horizon here on Friday. I'm excited to jump into it.
Oh, no doubt about it. And we've got two dregs in Major League Baseball that are very intriguing, as you've got a Colorado Rockies team that's won 3 straight games. What sort of like pixie dust and sorcery came over them in Miami? I have absolutely no idea. But how do you take a look at this game that we're going to be seeing coming up for this Friday, with it being the Mets laying minus $2 on the run line and a total of 10.5 with Antonio Senzatella, as I like to call him, the human pinata on the mound?
Yeah, you know, they swept the Marlins, and now they get rewarded with one of the better teams in baseball in the New York Mets. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how this game plays out, because I think the Mets could be up 10-0 within the first 2 innings. I wouldn't be surprised. We've also seen the Mets, though, struggle against a lot of these quote-unquote bottom feeder type pitchers in Major League Baseball as of late, notably even against the Rockies when they just played out in New York. So I'm not going to be bullish on the Rockies necessarily, but it does kind of steer me away from wanting to bet any type of over or even a Met spot with that crazy run line price.
Absolutely. And this is one that we're not able to bet right now because with the Athletics, they have not announced their starting pitchers like all week long. Like if you want to bet overnights, you can't bet against the A's who they finally won a game here on Thursday. They're now 2-20 in their last 22 games, but how have you been playing this just ridiculously bad run where the A's actually looked respectable about 3 to 4 weeks ago? Mm-hmm. And ever since then, they went just straight down the toilet bowl.
Yeah, and it all really comes down to, one, their starting pitchers aren't really pitching league average over the past 2 weeks. They've been at sort of that bottom, you know, 5-6 tier. And then their bullpen that was actually surprisingly halfway decent, and that's all they really needed to be with a pretty dynamic lineup. Well, that bullpen has absolutely fallen off a cliff. They are by far, far the worst in Major League Baseball. That includes, you know, the Marlins in there, the Rockies, who have actually been very, very good in terms of the bullpen. But the A's bullpen has really been the Achilles heel of this team. And also, you know, their lineup is still producing. I think they're a really good over spot no matter what. Although Dean Kramer is a guy that I think has actually been pitching pretty darn well. So it puts you in a little bit of a precarious position of, you know, do you jump on the fact that all these A's overs are hitting, or do you kind of steer away and say, well, maybe they just can't get worse? I'm not really sure. And that's ultimately why I end up staying away from that game.
Yeah, I can't blame you there. And this is one that I know that you're going to be in on, as it's the Dodgers going on the road against the St. Louis Cardinals. Clearly a little bit of an advantage for the Cardinals with regards to starting pitcher, as Sonny Gray is going to be going for them. And Justin Robelsky is going to be getting his second start of the season for the LA Dodgers. And it is the Dodgers who find themselves as a very small favorite here in some spots. So you're able to find them as high as about a minus 112, as low as about a minus 105 for the Cardinals, about minus 105 to minus 110. So rather pick 'em game. How do you take a look at this one with a Dodgers team that we know that they've got the lineup advantage, but Justin Robelsky is on the bump, and I don't expect a lot of greatness from him.
Yeah, I don't think the Dodgers really expected to be trotting out Justin Robelsky in the beginning part of June.
No.
But when you do lose Roky Sasaki, Tyler Glasnow, Gavin Stone, and insert 15
Blake
other
Snell.
Pitchers here. Yeah, Blake Snell. I mean, my goodness, Michael Kopech, Ruzdar Gadirol, Kirby Yates, everybody's hurt on this pitching staff. And you know, I ultimately think that's kind of where the Achilles heel for the Dodgers are right now, because even though they have the label, they have the lineup, they have the best player in baseball, my goodness, right now they aren't a top five team, in my opinion, and it comes down to that pitching staff. And, you know, the Cardinals just saw Cole Reagans. They were able to tag him up, a really good lefty with exciting stuff. And now, you know, they're seeing another lefty one day later at home with Sonny Gray, who's just been electric at home for the past two seasons. I really do think the Cardinals at a plus price here on the money line is 100% worth a shot. And I think it's actually worth a pretty big shot in this game.
Yeah, I mean, man, I think that the Towel Boy just went on the 10-day injured list for the LA Dodgers, as well as we've got Rob Donaldson joining me right here on Cashing Out on Visa, the Sports Betting Network. And if you want to know where the money and the bets are going on every single one of these baseball games, you want to dive in on the Visa betting splits, because our betting splits, they come from the source of Circa and DraftKings, giving you insights as to where the sharp action is going to be landing, because Circa, they take some of the biggest bets from the biggest professionals out there, while DraftKings provides a little bit more of a broad market perspective. That means that you're getting real action, not just the public money, but the kind of wagers that they move lines, see the percentage of bets versus the percentage of handle for every game across every major sport, to be able to help you smart better and make more informed bets. Get in on our exclusive betting splits for as low as $9.99 for your first month over at vsin.com/subscribe, as it is Cashing Out with myself, Greg Peterson, being joined by Rob Donaldson here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And I think that this is a very fascinating one, as for the Royals, they had to play a twin bill on Thursday. Now they hit the road. They're facing off against White Sox team that has actually played halfway decent at home. On the road, not so much. But we got David Martin going up against Seth Lugo. Total is 8. And right now with the Royals, about a minus 165 to a minus 170 favorite. I need to say for this one, with the Royals team that finally busted out with their offense here on Thursday, but haven't provided a lot of that this season.
Yeah, and you know, sometimes it really just takes a series, and I think part of it also is too, when you bring up an exciting prospect like a Jack Caglione, you know, everybody else kind of feels that energy in the clubhouse, and all of a sudden, you know, that youth starts hitting, and maybe even Jack Caglione himself can actually step up in this game, going up against Davis Martin, who's actually given up a lot of hard contact. And on the other side, Seth Lugo is only one start removed, you know, from being on the IL. He didn't have a good start in his first return outing. And so I think it's a combination of two different factors where I think the Royals offense could cover the first five over 4.5 line on their own, but I don't think they'll need to. I think the White Sox will be able to add two or three runs to the mix here within the first five or four inning kind of stretch mark. And when you are looking at, you know, a total of 4.5 at even odds, I'm all over it in this game.
And I think that this one is interesting as well, because you mentioned Seth Lugo coming off the injury list. The Seattle Mariners have had a few guys come off the injury list and been less than savory for Bryce Miller this year on the road, facing off against the Professor Kyle Hendrickson. He's been getting schooled all season long. And for the Seattle Mariners, about -150 to -155 favorites. Total on this game is 9. And I'm not sure how you take a look at this one, but with a guy in Miller that really has struggled throughout his career on the road, and I don't care where you put Kyle Hendricks, he's struggling everywhere. This just feels like a low total.
Yeah, and Kyle Hendricks is one of those guys that I think actually does give you a little bit of a chance to win, because he doesn't have these like 7, 8, 9 Lucas Giolito-esque outings where it's just dead from arrival. You know, he'll go 6 or 7 innings, give up his 3 or 4 earned runs. And unfortunately for him, we're talking about, you know, betting against that through the first 5 innings. I really do think that he adds a lot of value to inherently to the over. Now, Bryce Miller could be the great equalizer here, where one start removed, you know, from the IL, he has great strikeout stuff and hadn't really been there before the IL stint, and the Angels strike out a ton. So he can just go out there and shove and give up 0 earned runs, and all of a sudden we're relying on Kyle Hendricks to push an over 5 through the first 5 innings, you know, above all the way to 6. But I don't think we're going to need to here. I think both guys are going to contribute to this point total going over. And for that reason, I really do, again, like a first 5 over in this spot.
I like that. And here's something that we probably didn't think that we were going to be saying in 2025. You're liking a first 5 money line with Patrick Corbin on a side of it. It's the Texas Rangers against Washington Nationals. Mike Soroka's on the bump for Washington. Corbin is going to be going for the Rangers. Take me through this one, because I feel like I'm in bizarre world with Patrick Corbin not looking terrible this year.
Yeah, no, the Rangers pitching is not the problem. It's like the lineup. They can throw anybody out there and they're getting the job done. And this is kind of, I guess, maybe a revenge game. I don't really buy into that angle, but hey, the narrative is there. He's returning to Washington. And yeah, to your point, Patrick Corbin's been fantastic, just going out there and consistently giving the Rangers a chance to win. And the Rangers lineup over the last 2 or 3 series have actually started to pick up a little bit. And whether I want to buy into that, I don't know long term, but in the short term, why not? This is a super talented lineup that is getting Corey Seager back and healthy. He's actually hitting the ball extremely hard right now in the series, past series against the Rays, and going up against Mike Soroka. I don't know why they can't just win this game outright or win it through the first 5 innings. And against Mike Soroka, I kind of wanted to target again that first 5 market. So I ended up going with the Rangers through the first 5 on the money line. And I really do think it's a good price for that section and for the full game.
Absolutely. And I mean, it is very interesting to think about Patrick Corbin going up against his former team and the Rangers actually being the favorite in this spot. But one of our favorites is you, Rob. You do such a great job gauging baseball when it's in season, college basketball, and so much more. And always do appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, Greg. And best luck rest show, man.
Absolutely. Rob does a tremendous job being able to gauge this great game of baseball, and every single time he joins me, lends such amazing insights. And coming up next, how about if we take a look at Game 2 of the Stanley Cup Final and some more Friday baseball right here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Cashing Out right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. It was great to be joined by Rob Donaldson in the previous segment, taking a look at this great game of baseball. We've got all 30 teams in action on this Friday, and Certainly, we're going to try to break down every one of those games here on the show tonight. But something else that we do have to break down is, for one, the Stanley Cup final game that we're going to be seeing on Friday. And two, I have went an hour and 45 minutes on this show and not mentioned Aaron Rodgers once. Someone give me a badge of honor and just some sort of an award, because how I did that, I have absolutely no idea. It helps out when you got a nice NBA Finals game and we got a lot of baseball to be had. But we are going to address the Aaron Rodgers situation, and we're going to find out how the cliffhangers music from The Price is Right has something to do with my story. That is going to be interesting, and you're going to want to hold on to that for a few minutes. But that said, let's take a look first things first at what we've got in terms of the Stanley Cup final game between the Panthers and the Oilers. Right now, not really changed from when I was on air last night. You've got the Oilers about a minus 120 to a minus 125 favorite. Total on this game is 6.5. I'm not going to sit up here and say that I'm like some sort of a wizard when it comes to handicapping hockey, but I do think that with the game going into overtime in game number one, with the way that things were very much a little bit more muted in terms of scoring towards the back half of game number one, because he had those three goals in the first period. From there, the goalies really rose up, and Stuart Skinner just continues to really surprise me. Like, I was thinking that Stuart Skinner at some point was going to be becoming the great big pumpkin, because he had that great series against the Vegas Golden Knights, had one rough game against the Dallas Stars, which I thought, all right, this is where he breaks down. But no, he's been able to come back every single time and has been able to look very rock solid. So do have to give some credit there. But I do think that these guys are going to be a little bit more worn out here in game number two. Now, again, the big thing that I'm taking a look at overall for the series, I do think that the Panthers have a chance to be able to come back. And if the Panthers are able to win this Stanley Cup final, I think that Sam Bennett has a really, really good value in terms of the Conn Smythe Trophy. A lot of places you're able to find them in that neighborhood, 20-1, might be a little bit closer to 18-1. But with that loss for the Panthers took in game number one, you're getting great odds on him. Coming into the series was actually at 30-1, but 12 goals thus far in the postseason. He has been able to do a rock solid job of being able to contribute there. And I don't really want to take a position on the money line here. If I really, really, really had to play it, I would just be looking at taking both teams, laying a goal and a half, and just relying on this being a multi-goal game, because I know that Scott Seidenberg, who's been doing a great job here in this slot the last few weeks, he's been doing a great job on VSiN Primetime. He's been mentioning that north of 62% of games here in the postseason have been won by multiple goals. You know, we get the big minus one and a half on the Edmonton Oilers right around about +$2, +195. That seems like some pretty good value there. So that's ultimately where I'd be looking. And something else that we have to take a look at, and boy, it's a little bit rough that we have to take a look at it, but we have to take a look at it regardless of the fact that now Brett Favre has decided that he is indeed going to be signing with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, I still remember, I'm someone from the great state of Wisconsin. First 22 years of my life, I grew up 45 minutes away from Lambeau Field. I remember when a lot of people were speculating, oh, how did Brett Favre like mentor Aaron Rodgers and everything like that? He mentored him in one really good way: how to become an off-season diva and how to just drag everything out and make it. If you've ever seen the GIF on the old Twitter/X, there's that guy pointing in the mirror saying, you get in there and you make it all about you. Aaron Rodgers is the human form of that GIF right there. And now he's going to be in the fold for the Pittsburgh Steelers. If you're looking at that win total, it's at an 8.5 right now. They're +145 to be able to make the postseason. You know what would be really hilarious? Because Mike Tomlin has this great big streak of never having a losing season. Just the modicum of consistency. You can say what you will about the Pittsburgh Steelers not winning a playoff game, but at the very least, they make the playoffs. How hilarious would it be if Aaron Rodgers is the guy that busts up that streak? And right now with the win total, and they're saying it's pretty much a 50-50 proposition at this point with that win total at an 8.5. Now, there could obviously be a tie in there as well, so you might go like 8-8-1, but I don't think that that's necessarily going to be the case. And for Aaron Rodgers, did he play a little bit better towards back half of the season last year? Yes. Was he coming off of major surgery? Yes. But at the same time, what are we going to be able to get out of 40-plus-year-old Aaron Rodgers, who skipped everything in the offseason? He's just now signing with them. Now, I think that there have been like some pass rounds and everything like that. There have been a little bit of training with regards to what Aaron Rodgers was doing. So I don't think that he's coming in there completely cold. But at the same time, this is a man that, as we know, he has got interesting trips. We're going to call it that. Interesting trips is the best way of being able to put it with Aaron Rodgers. You just don't know what to expect. And I mean, for Aaron Rodgers, it's just pretty much the opposite of Brett Favre. And I told you that we would mention the Price is Right yodeling music, because back when Brett Favre was trying to pull something very, very similar, there was a local TV station out in the great state of Wisconsin. I still remember it was 2007. They had something called the Brett Favre Mountain, and they would play the cliffhanger music for the Price is Right in the background as he took his steps, being able to get back to the NFL. Ultimately, he would be traded to the New York Jets that year, but it was like coming out of retirement and everything like that. Right now, we're on the Aaron Rodgers, shall we say, cliffhangers, trying to be able to rise up the mountain, trying to be able to get back to a winning record, and I just don't think that's necessarily going to be here personally. And for the Pittsburgh Steelers, I mean, they made some interesting moves in the offseason to be able to shape things up. But I mean, you just take a look at the schedule that they've got in general, and they've got some pretty tough opponents on there. Like, you're going to be having to play against the Minnesota Vikings towards the beginning part of the season. The Patriots, I think, is one of the biggest question marks out there. And I mean, you can take a look at the schedule right now, and you can feel one of two ways. You can feel like, all right, they're going to be playing some pretty stiff competition. They're going to be having early on a few teams where they're going to be hoping to be able to turn over a new leaf. Like the Seahawks are a team that's in a little bit of transition right now. The New York Jets are certainly a team in transition. I just mentioned the Patriots. They're looking to be able to take that next step forward. You've got the Cleveland Browns on there twice. They should be able to win those games. But, I mean, man, this is just a very interesting roster or a very interesting schedule in general. But in the middle, I mean, you want to talk about murderer's row after that bye week. You get the Cleveland Browns. That one is at home. If you don't get the job done against the Cleveland Browns at home, then this is going to really be a sad and awful year. But then you get the Bengals on the road in Monday Night Football. You've got Aaron Rodgers going up against his old team in the Green Bay Packers on Sunday Night Football. I'm thinking that the schedule makers knew a little bit of something that they were doing there. The Colts, who they're dealing with the Anthony Richardson injury, that's a very TBD team. But I mean, the Chargers, the Bengals, the Bears, where are these 8.5 wins coming from? Like, in the first half, you've got the Jets, Seahawks, Patriots, Vikings. Can they go 2-2 in that stretch? Absolutely. Can they knock off the Browns twice? Yeah, that gives you 4 wins. Where are these other wins coming from? Like, I'm trying to decipher their schedule right now, and they're not knocking off the Ravens. They're not knocking off the Buffalo Bills. They're not knocking off the Lions, even though that game is going to be at home. So that does help out a little bit. Jared Goff and cold weather, that is something that you want to be taking a look at. But the Bengals, they probably split that. That'll give you 5. The Colts, that could get you to 6. The math is not mathing right now. I'm not seeing 8.5 wins for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I never, ever doubt Mike Tomlin. Like, you never go against Mike Tomlin being able to get a 500-plus record. I am very much going to doubt this guy in Aaron Rodgers, a guy that makes it all about him. And if there's one thing that we know about Mike Tomlin, he always gets guys on the same page. Like, I mean, he dealt with the head case that is Antonio Brown for as long as he did, and he managed to keep that somehow, someway, somewhat bottled up in-house. I don't know if he could do it with Aaron Rodgers. Like, this is his biggest test. If Mike Tomlin could get this team to 500, it will be his best coaching job yet. And I'm not even saying that out of hyperbole, because he did that with Duck Hodges. Like, I mean, Duck Hodges, he got him to 500, and I think it would be an even more Herculean task if he does it here with Aaron Rodgers. That's just where I'm at with Aaron Rodgers, so yeah, I don't think that it's necessarily going to be an amazing year here for the Pittsburgh Steelers, as it is cashing out right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, with myself, Greg Oops Peterson. And how about if we run the Pittsburgh special here? Because we've got the Pittsburgh Steelers, so we're going to be in for a very, very interesting year, to say the least. And we got the Pittsburgh Pirates, who wrapped up a game at 12:30 a.m. Eastern time, and now they have to turn around and they have to play against the Philadelphia Phillies, who's going to be trotting out their Joe Ross on the bump. 951, 952 on the card. It is Bailey Falter hoping to not live up to his name for the Buccos. And with Joe Ross and the Phillies, they're between -138 to -148 favorites. Between +120 to +130 is that number on Pittsburgh, with a total of 9. And I'm actually seeing a +128 out there at a few spots, as well as +126. And if we can get a +128 or higher, I'm actually going to be willing to take a shot on the Pittsburgh Pirates here. I recognize that they're going to be tired, but they're not having to go through as much travel. And with Joe Ross, the fact that he's getting a start in this one, that pretty much tells you that it's going to be a bullpen game for the Philadelphia Phillies. You know what's not trustworthy? the Philadelphia Phillies bullpen. They're right now in the bottom eight in the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA. Jose Alvarado was the best reliever, and right now he's serving an 80-game suspension because he decided to take weight loss supplements. So that tells you where you're at right there with them. And for this Pittsburgh Pirates team, less than a tremendous effort against the Astros, and the offense has been very much dealing with some issues. So, I mean, I'm seeing this total of 9. I'm going to be willing to go under. Bailey Falter, 3 runs, 2 of which were earned in his last 5 starts. Should he see some regression? Yes. Do I think that he gets the job done? Absolutely as well. And coming up next, we'll talk some more Friday baseball right here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.